you receive Jesus as your healer tonight. Thank you, Lord. We put our eyes on you. Whatever's going on in our bodies, in our friends' bodies, in our family, we put our eyes on Jesus right now in the name of Jesus. You are the Lord who heals us. You took away every sickness, every dis-ease, every hurt, every pain. And we, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you that instead of focusing on those things, we turn our eyes to Jesus tonight. As Pastor Rodney's ministering and we're doing our class tonight, we keep our eyes on you, Lord. And I thank you, healing's coming. Healing always comes. Thank you, Lord. Do you receive it tonight?
Yes.
Amen. Are you expecting tonight? Praise God. Hallelujah. You may be seated this evening. Glory to God. Welcome to Wednesday night church, our midweek boost, we like to call it. I'm going to go through our announcements here. We want to welcome all of you here tonight. Welcome those of you watching for the first time. If you haven't heard about us, our website is vlfc.church. And there you can submit your prayer requests, your testimonies, access all the past messages, video, audio, and sermon notes. And I want to encourage you, get those sermon notes for further study. You can dissect the word, go back, because I guarantee when we're preaching the word, there's a lot more than what we hear that day. So we go back and we hear more and we hear more and we get more revelation. We're on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, Instagram with more outlets on the way. So subscribe, follow, like, and share. Pastor Rodney's Daily Devotional is on our website and the link is on Facebook every single morning. And so you can't miss it. Also, you can subscribe and have it sent to your email inbox as well. Sundays, doors open at 9. Pre-service prayer is from 9:20 to 9:40 and service starts at 10. Come early for fellowship. Wednesday nights, we are still doing Jesus the Miracle Worker Discipleship Course. You are in the right place tonight. Are you expecting miracles? Don't you know he's the miracle worker? Praise God. He is a miracle worker, and we work with him to see those miracles in our lives. And so join us for sessions filled with teaching, discussion, activation, practical hands-on ministry labs. And it's so neat because we partner up at the end or get in groups, and we're all learning. We're all getting to know one another through this, the groups. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing to be able to interact with one another and have that time at the end. It's such a blessing. Friday, we have Friday prayer from 9 to 10. And I didn't say that doors open on Wednesdays at 6 and we start at 6:30. Also, there's refreshments afterwards as well. For volunteers, we currently have openings for greeters, coffee station, ushers, video production, children and youth ministry, and our worship team. And so we invite you to volunteer. We want to thank all of our volunteers. We could not do it without you. Also, the baby bottle boomerang is happening right now with our local pregnancy center, and that's going on through Father's Day. And some people have already brought back their baby bottles filled with cash or checks or change, and then we turn that in, and it's a blessing because everything's donation based there at the pregnancy center. And you're helping people save lives. You're helping people choose life by being a partner with Pathways. And so we thank you for that. So tonight, for our offering message, if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. And some of you have already seen this today because I actually posted it on Facebook. It came up as a memory and it just blessed me. You know, the year 2020. How many of you remember 2020? I don't know where you were. We were in Texas and there was a lot going on there trying to shut things down. But Pastor Rodney and I, we never missed a day of work. Our jobs were, I guess you could say, essential, because we went to work. We never worked from home. And so a lot of people we know worked from home, but we never worked from home. We went to work every day. But God was really working in my heart during that time. And so as you turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 26, don't you know the Lord God, he's our provider. Philippians 4:19 says he provides all of our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He provides how many of our needs?
All.
All of our needs. All means all, right? So I want to read this to you, and it's not very long, but it's something that I wrote. So every year we had these birds, and I have a picture of them here, and you can see them online. We'll put that up there for you. But every year these birds would come to build a nest above our front door. And every year I had to talk Pastor Rodney into letting them stay because, yes, they made a mess below. But these are five little there's actually five, but you can see the first four, they're little chicks there. And so they would build a nest every single year. And I just, really enjoyed having them. And so I said this year was extra special as it brought so much life and was a reminder of God's love, creation, provision during this time and all the time. Even though Rodney and I both never missed our job assignments and we were not quarantined, we would get up every morning and come home every night, and I would check on the progress and life journey of God's creation through these birds. I enjoyed watching them build their nests layer by layer, so intricately detailed. Then the mama bird thought it's her house and we were the intruders. She used to get so mad at us for coming home and walking through those doors. She was preparing a place for her five babies. Once the eggs hatched, it was so neat to watch mama bird come by to feed them. Every time she flew near them, they would all open their mouths in unison, expecting their dinner. They are always provided for. Now they can fly as they started almost 2 months ago when this nest began. And so 2 months later, I'm reminded of God's provision for us as he is our provider. I am reminded of his love for us. He is love. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. I'm reminded of his beautiful creation as he is the creator of the universe and every good thing and every person, speaking of life. I'm reminded that he orchestrates life and new beginnings, and he makes all things new. I'm reminded of his mercy and his faithfulness, his loving kindness, his gentleness, his protection, his provision, and his promises are always yes and amen. And I want you to remember that tonight as we're ministering the word. He is a good, good Father, Jehovah Jireh, my God who sees ahead and has already made provision. Say, my God sees ahead and he has already made provision. Praise God. And so Matthew chapter 6, verse 26 says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not worth much more than they? Selah. Praise God. And so tonight, as we're giving, we have the building fund to announce tonight. So tonight, as we're giving, I just want to encourage you to remember nothing's too hard for God. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. And as you're sowing your seed, we're going to expect our harvest. Praise God. Those little birds, they never missed a meal. They never missed a meal. And neither do we. We don't have to. I want to let you know about our building projects. We are believing wholeness happens as we place ourselves in Jesus above and beyond for your tithes and offerings, $5,000 to come in by the end of May. So that was May. This is June now. We're believing for the property and building of our own with lots of room for growth, rooms for prayer groups, connect groups, nursery, classrooms for our children's ministry, young adults, and our fellowship hall. And it's up on the screen, and you all have your vision brochures, and we're making bigger ones to hopefully be able to put on our refrigerator so we can look at it and walk towards the vision. And so far, $2,375 has come in, praise the Lord. And that leaves $2,625 remaining. This is a phase. We're doing these in phases to receive the projects that the Lord has for us. So let's believe together, release our faith, and watch what only God can do in this. And when you're sowing tonight, name your seed to reap the harvest in your own lives. And so as you're giving, there's an option for the building fund. So there's a drop down for that. If you're giving in the room, you can write building fund on the envelope as well. And as you give today, if you're giving by cash or credit card, please use the offering envelope on the seat back in front of you, and please sign the signature line if you're giving by credit card. Make checks payable to VLFC. And those of you watching, we invite you to sow along with us as well. And let's say our offering confession together. The blessing is working in us, on us, and for us. The Lord is increasing us. More and more, us and our children. Seed, we speak to you. Produce a mighty harvest. We are getting our buildings, our lands, our houses, and all of our needs met. We call every bill paid. We are furnished in abundance. Angels, go get our harvest and bring it to us. Double, 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 and double again in Jesus' name. Praise God. You may receive the offering.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Paula. Yes, he takes care of the birds. He takes care of the lily of the fields, and how much more shall he surely take care of you and I, his own children. Hallelujah. God is good all the time.
Yes.
And all the time, God is good. He is always good. The word tells us in 1 John 4:8, God is love. Amen. It's not just what he does, it's who he is. The very core, the very essence of who God is agape. Agape love, that there's, so in Greek, there's several different terms for the word love. In English, we use it as a catch-all. I love pizza or something, but no, that's not what it means. You know, there is the agape love of God, which is reserved. Really, it was not really used prior to very much God himself or in Christ, or really even on this side of the cross. And it was referring to this unconditional love, the love that says, I love you no matter what. It doesn't matter what you've done, how bad you think you are. It is not more than the love of God. Hallelujah. The word says that when we were God's enemies, we were sinners, we had trespassed against him, God never stopped loving. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, God never missed a beat. He immediately just goes right back to work. He says, I know you have sinned. I know you've done wrong. I know you believed the lie. I know you committed high treason against me, and it's bad. He said, but no, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to send my son. I'm going to send a seed into this earth. We're going to restore and get you back as though sin never happened. The word says, you go on there in 1 John, I'm quoting it, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. For this purpose, the Son of God was revealed that he might destroy the works of the devil, every bit of it, as though sin had never happened. And that word destroy better means unravel. For this purpose, the Son of God was revealed or made manifest, or he came that he might unravel the works of the devil. He unraveled it at the cross. He unraveled it all the way back to the Garden of Eden as though sin had never happened. Hallelujah. You are not an old sinner saved by grace. No. If you have been in Christed, this new creation reality says that all that Christ was, is, or could ever be, I am. I have been in Christed. He is the Savior. So guess what? In Christ, you are saved. In Christ, he is the healer. So you're healed. In Christ, he is the I am. What do you need? I am. That's who's in you. That's not just who's in you. That's who you now are in him. And all we are simply doing on all of it, from salvation to healing to finances or whatever the situation is, you need freedom, you need deliverance. All I'm simply doing is John 8:32. Jesus said, you'll know that know is revelation. You'll have a revealed knowledge of what? The truth. What is the truth? Thy word is truth. You'll have a knowing of this truth of who you are in Christ. This is who I am. This is what I have. This is what I can do now that I'm in Christ. And when I know this truth, I'm free. When I know this truth, I'm saved. When I come to know this, I'm healed. When I come to know this, I'm victorious. Hallelujah. So in all of this, this is what we're coming to see. This is what we're coming to see. So again, we taught starting in September of last year on up until March of this year. We taught every Sunday and every Wednesday on the subject of faith. Without, again, Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, if it's impossible to please God without faith, we need to find out what faith is, shouldn't we? Amen. He says, it's impossible to please God without it. He said, for those who come to him must believe. You must believe, number one, that he is, but that he is also a rewarder of those who will diligently seek him. When he says diligently seek him, it goes to this, again, finding out what God has to say about that, and whatever he says about that, that's how I'm going to agree with that. I'm going to act on that. I'm diligently seeking him. He says this is what pleases him. Number one, above all else. Hallelujah. So again, if someone gave you a word, they said, hey, you know what? I'm going to do this for you by this certain time, by this date, for this amount, you know, praise God. If you have faith, you will act in agreement with that. You know, so if God says, I'll meet all your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and then you turn around and say, yeah, God, I know you said that, but I'm going to have to meet my own need. I'm going to have to go out and get this job. I can't go to church because I've got to go to work, you know, and on all of these things. And so again, you set about setting the word of God aside, thereby making it no effect, trying to accomplish and toil to earn what he's already made available. Praise God. The word says in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. He adds no sorrow, neither does toil increase it. There's no toil. All you need is the wisdom of God. What you need is a word from God. What you need is an instruction from God to show you what to do. And when you'll go do it, that's where your blessing is. That's where your wealthy place is. That's where your spouse is. That's where all of these things work together for good. Again, Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good for everybody. Does it say it? No, let's turn over there. Thank you, Lord. We're going to get to the miracle we're going to look at tonight, but this is going to help us. Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good. I've heard that quoted so many times, and people will stop right there. We know all things work together for good. Amen, brother. Amen, sister. All things work together for good. No, they do not. No, they do not. You don't have to be around more than 5 minutes to realize that all things don't work together for good, even in your own life, and you're born again, spirit-filled, right? He says, no, they work together for a specific group, to those who love God. Who it is who loves me, Jesus said, but he who has my words, he who has my commands, and keeps them. I'm not just hearing the word. I'm just, so this goes right back. This is the same thing as Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible. So what is this? I got to believe God is, and he's a rewarder of those who will diligently seek him. I've got to believe that God, you are God. God, you said this. This is what you intended this to be in my life. So I choose to agree with God. And now I by faith, I hook up with you. So again, we see this throughout the New Testament. There's this word called homologio. It means homo, same, logios, to say. I'm saying the same thing as God says. God, you said by his stripes I was healed. I'm locking arms with Jesus and saying, Jesus, you said by those stripes you bore on your back at Calvary that I was healed. So the same cross that saved me is also the same cross that heals me. So I choose to hook up with you right now, and I believe I receive. I thank you that I'm saved. I know my eternal salvation is secure. And by that same, I received, I'm healed and I am whole. So body, you hear that? You're healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, I'm receiving wisdom, insight, and revelation to know this truth that will make me free. You know, revelation does not generally come the first time you heard it. Revelation is a continual and ongoing process that will never end. The Word says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. You've got to hear a word from God, and that word will produce the faith of God in you. The Word of God produces the faith of God in you. Faith comes by hearing. Again, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So I've got to find out what God has to say about it, because that's how I'm going to have God's faith to be able to homologio with Him, to agree with Him, to say what He says. That homologio doesn't mean just to say the same thing. It means to have this heart revelation. So again, I'm knowing this truth. I see what God sees the way He sees it. I understand the way He understands. Therefore, I'm calling it the way He calls it. Faith is of the heart, not the head. So again, Paul writes this over in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world. Don't be transformed by its ideas or its ideals. It says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove for yourself what is the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. So again, the most important thing you could tell someone who is not yet saved is to get born again. The most important thing you can tell every believer before anything and all else and ongoing for the rest of your life is renew your mind. Renew your mind. 2 years ago, I believe now, we did a series. There was 12 messages on the foundations of faith, and we were looking at these. So again, man is a three-part being. You are a spirit. You have a soul, which is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. At present, you live in a physical or a natural body. At the new birth, your spirit man was born again in the exact image and likeness and nature of Christ Himself. You become one with Christ. You become one spirit with God. But you know that your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions did not get born again. Amen. So again, this is where we're to take the Word of God and renew our minds. The Word says in Ephesians 5:25, he speaks of the washing of the water of the Word. That is a continual, ongoing process. I'm putting the Word in, I'm putting the Word in, I'm putting the Word in. And what's happening? All that other junk, all that other filth, all those old patterns, all those old behaviors, they're just being washed away, washed away, washed away, washed away. Thank you, Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 15:34, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he's they've been struggling with some things. So he says, hey, awake to righteousness and sin not. What is he saying? If you will simply awaken unto the fact that you have been made the righteousness of God, it will cause you not to sin. It'll cause you to live a holy life. It'll cause you to act right. You go where you focus. So again, I shared this a while back, but Paul and I, it's been 2 years now. We were driving to Estes Park, about 4 hours down the road, beautiful place. Highly recommend it if you haven't been there. But we were driving down there, and we get along the Falls River there, the last, I forget now, 30, 40 miles. You know, it's just this two-lane road, and you're following that river, and you got mountains, and it's just, I mean, it is beautiful scenery. Well, I'm the one driving, you know, so in Paula, she's looking around, she's taking pictures and stuff, but I'm constantly looking, and I'm trying to check things out as we're driving along the road, and in my mind, I know where the road's at, and I'm holding this line, and I'm holding this line, and I look over, maybe I do kind of okay, but sure enough, if I'm looking left, And even though I'm thinking I'm going straight, even for just a few seconds, what happens? You start to veer that way. If I start looking over here, guess what? You start to veer that way. You go where you focus. So again, when we're dealing with things in our soul, our body, whatever it is, take it all back to the Word. So again, number one core value in our lives and in this church is the Word of God. It's first and it's final authority. It settles. It answers every question. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Philemon, Hebrews, take a left. Philemon chapter 1, there's just the one chapter. Chapter 1, verse 6. This verse right here, we taught last summer, about a year ago now, we were teaching a series called Identification with Christ. We were on it for a while. We're not done with it. We're going to come back to it again. But this scripture right here, we taught a whole sermon just on this one scripture. And I would highly encourage you to go back. Those of you that were here, go back and hear it again. And I would say even this week, if you can get the time, those of you that have not heard it, this is a must. This scripture is the key to unlocking the New Testament. It is the key to unlocking your new life in Christ. And it is this, Philemon 1:6 says that the sharing, or I pray that the sharing, that word sharing is the word koinonia. It means intimate fellowship. It means intimate fellowship. It means joint participation. I pray that the sharing, this koinonia, this intimate fellowship, this joint participation of what? Your faith. May become most effective. Come on, how many want to be effective? How many want to pray and get your and be heard and get your prayers answered? Hey, amen. How would you like to be able to even as Jesus did and even as the disciples did, give a faith command and see God move? Amen. He says, I pray that the sharing or this communication of your faith may become most effective by what? By the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you from Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So again, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have, past tense, have passed away. What are those old things? Sin and all of its effects. Every part of the curse are those old things. Again, Galatians 3:13, Christ became a curse for us. Amen. Curse is everyone who hangs on a tree that the blessing of Abraham might come on us. What was under that curse? Deuteronomy 28 verses 15 through 61, all types of just horrible, really bad stuff. One of those things was sicknesses, diseases, all those that were named in this book. He said, all those that are not named, it's all covered under that curse. Sickness, disease, poverty, lack, torment, addictions, all of those things are a part of the curse. Jesus bore it. Why? He didn't just do it for no reason. He did it for you. He did it for me. Every part of humanity, every part of fallen humanity, every part of that curse, he bore it entirely as the substitute, as the exchange. Hallelujah. So now all that is no longer me. That's not my identity. Your struggle is not your identity. Hallelujah. You may have been going something for 10, 20, 30 years. You've had this sickness. You've had this disease. You've had this situation. You've had this. That's not who you are. Now, you may have let it define you, but that's not the real you in Christ. That's not what God has said, and that's not what he's saying about you. No, he says, I pray that the sharing, this intimate fellowship, this continual flow of exchange of your faith. Again, faith is the currency of the kingdom. It is faith in, so Jesus says in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Have faith in what God has said. So faith is the currency of the kingdom. Faith says, I see what God has said. I see what God has done. And on the basis of that word, with no other proof, I don't need to be like Thomas. I don't need to see it before I'm going to believe it. You've got to believe it before you see it. You have to take somebody, you have to take God at his word and say, God, you said it. That settles it. I'm not considering me. I'm not considering my feelings. I'm not considering the bank. I'm not considering anything else. I consider you alone. And now I take this word, and by faith, God, I'm homologio with you tonight, and I receive, I am the redeemed. I am the healed, I am the blessed, and I am the free. And Holy Spirit, I thank you for breathing on this word here tonight and continually making it revelation, making it known unto me that I might walk in the fullness of it in Jesus' name. So again, he says, by the acknowledgement, you have to acknowledge by faith, this is the real me. This is the real me. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief, Jesus calls the devil a thief. He's a thief. What does the thief do? Number one, steal the word. Steal, kill, destroy. Those three things. And steal is number one. He cannot kill, he cannot destroy if he first can't steal the word. He's after the same truth. He's after the same truth. If I can keep this truth out of your mouth, if I can keep it out of your eyes, if I can keep you out of your heart, if I can keep you from coming to church and sitting under the anointed word around anointed fellowship, I can break you. And he can. He absolutely can. That's why God ordained these things, because he knows this is what's needed, not just for you and I, so that you and I could be the answer to our brothers and sisters around us. Amen. It says that by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you from Christ Jesus, the New Testament has roughly 180 references to in him, in Christ, by Christ, through Christ. All of this is a picture telling you specifically, this is the real you. This is who you are right now. And if you will simply, God, I don't see how, in my natural mind, but I'm not believing with my natural mind. I'm not going according to man's wisdom. I'm going according to the wisdom of God. And God, your word says, if I believe in my heart and confess out of my mouth that Jesus is Lord, I'll be saved. By far the greatest miracle known to man is something that's so simple. And everything else will come the exact same way. God, I also believe that you're my healer. And I believe you at your word, and now I'm taking this word, and by faith I choose to agree with you. And I'm standing on this word. I'm not speaking fear, doubt, unbelief, sickness, and disease. I'm speaking the blessing. I'm speaking the victory. I'm speaking the truth of who I am in Christ. Amen. And when you choose to set your face, I'm going to agree with God in spite of everything else around me. I'm going to hook up with God and take God at his word. Amen. You won't have to stand long. You'll start seeing your manifestation. And with that, let's get into tonight's miracle. The 10 lepers, Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Praise God. That was enough of an opening. But the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, I don't just preach whatever I want to preach. No. I don't pick these series. I don't pick any of it. As I hear, this is what I'm to share. I'm not preaching for me. I'm preaching for you. Hallelujah. I'm an under shepherd under the great shepherd. My job primarily is to hear what he wants to say to you and deliver it the way he wants it done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So whatever he had for us here tonight, even in that opening, you know, again, I never know, you know, it just comes out, but it's for you. It's for somebody, whether you're here, whether you're watching, it's for you, or in some way, shape, or form, I believe it's for everybody. Just reach out and by faith and just receive it. Amen. But let's look over here in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19 says, while Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered one of the villages, he was met by 10 lepers. That's unusual. You were met by 10 lepers? They stood at a distance and raised their voices, shouting, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When Jesus saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they were on their way, they were cleansed. Verse 15, when one of them saw that he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice. He fell face down at Jesus' feet in thanksgiving to him, and he was a Samaritan. Were not all 10 cleansed? Jesus asked. Where then are the other 9? Was no one found except this foreigner to return and give glory to God? Then Jesus said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you whole. Whose faith? Jesus' faith? The disciples' faith? The crowd's faith? Corporate faith? Your faith. Your faith was that currency that made that exchange. Your faith reached over into the realm of the Spirit, grabbed hold of mercy, and received it. Over and over and over and over again, we've been seeing it. According to your faith, if all things are possible to him who believes, what about all those in the crowd that didn't believe? Yeah, over and over, we saw that too. Power was present to heal everybody in the room, yet one man got healed. It's not according to his power. The woman with the issue of blood, everyone is touching Jesus in the crowd. No one's getting healed, even though he is Christ, the healer, the anointed one. The word says he has the Spirit on him without measure. People are touching him left and right. No one's getting healed until a little woman runs up and grabs him in faith, and she receives her healing instantly. And he turns to her and says, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Amen. Glory to God. So thank you, Jesus. So again, rise and go. Your faith has made you well, or it has made you whole. Praise God. So what we see here in this, and actually before I teach on this, I just want to ask you, what stands out to you about this passage? What's just one thing that kind of stood out to you, whether it's maybe it's a comment, maybe it's a question. It does, and I just want to ask you, one or two to share that right now.
His gratitude.
His gratitude.
So he obviously was willing. I mean, even before he got healed, it was his faith. And then when he received it, he was grateful for it.
Amen. Gratitude. Yeah.
The other 9, they wanted it once they got it.
So. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Praise the Lord.
It says that while they were going, they were cleansed.
While they were going, they were cleansed. Amen. What do you suppose would happen if they hadn't gone? Probably wouldn't have got healed. I believe you're right. Amen. Jesus, we'll see it over and over. He gives someone a faith command. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, he spits in the mud. He spits in the dirt, makes mud, sticks it in the man's eye, touches him. But that didn't do anything. All that did was give this man a moment of decision. He didn't even, so again, Jesus tells him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. What if he had went over to Bethesda where the waters are troubled? That's where the angel comes down. We looked at that one too. What if he went to Bethesda? I mean, that's where the miracle waters are, right? No. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Only when he went to Siloam, only when he had washed, then he saw. Glory to God. Yes, amen. What does this miracle show us about Jesus? So again, Jesus moves towards the outcast. It says, as he entered one of the villages, he was met by 10 lepers. I'm here to tell you that is unusual. Not that there was leprosy, but to have 10 of you gathered together, let's see about that. So again, Jesus is traveling the borderland between Samaria and Galilee. This region has been marked by tension, division, and cultural distance. Jews and Samaritans do not get along. Do not get along. And what's really something is you have Jews and at least this one Samaritan that are in this group together. All right. They stood at a distance. Now note here, the law requires that the lepers are not able to have joint fellowship. You know, if you have leprosy, this is a contagious skin disease. You just can't be among the public. So they would quarantine them into leper colonies. And also required them, they had to be at least 100 paces, which is about 250 feet away from others. And if I'm approaching you, they are responsible to shout out, leper, leper, unclean, right? All right. So again, you can imagine not just what this has done on their body. So again, leprosy is a skin disease. It literally eats the flesh off of your body. You know, and if it goes on, you know, it will eat body parts right off of you. I mean, it's pretty ghastly thing. This word, so again here, this Greek word for met indicates a deliberate meeting. These men planned to intercept Jesus. Jesus, however, is not intimidated by disease, stigma, or public opinion, which we've seen that many times, but he consistently always responds to faith, regardless of the situation. Praise God. So we see here, they raise their voices shouting, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. This word master is the word epistates. It means master. It means commander, the one in charge, a title of authority. So they're saying, master, the one who's in charge. This is a very significant term. And again, this is their faith speaking. We're going to see more about this. This is a cry of faith reaching for his mercy. Again, so again, all 10 of them. So this cry reveals a shared conviction. Jesus, you have the authority to do this. You're the one in charge. Heal us. Heal us. Have mercy. Heal us. So somewhere along the way, again, they're in a leper colony, but someone, they have heard about Jesus. They've heard about the miracles. They've perhaps heard about some of the other lepers who were healed in his ministry. Faith came. Faith came, which caused them to get out and act. So again, just looking at this, there would have been a nearby leper colony. And again, most likely, you know, just thinking about this, they live in a colony. The whole colony has heard about Jesus. It seems almost obvious. Out of this colony, however many there are, 10 of them got up out of that colony and said, Jesus is going to be passing through here. Let's go meet him. Let's go meet him. Again, I don't know how many are in the colony, but only 10 acted in faith. This Greek, thank you, Lord. This Greek word for mercy is the word eleo. It means to, it doesn't just refer, mercy doesn't really mean pity or sympathy. It is compassion that moves one into action. It is compassion. I see a situation and I'm not just feeling empathy or sympathy. No, compassion is a movement. I'm not going to leave you where you are. I'm going to do something about this situation. So again, this word mercy means compassion that moves one into action. So again, Jesus, Master, the one who has authority, the one who is in charge, have compassion that will move over to us and heal us. This is faith. So again, it took a whole lot of faith just to even, you know what, guys? I know they're not going, but we're going. I'm going to go. We're going to intercept Jesus. I know he's going to be passing along this way. We're going to go lie in wait. We're going to ambush him. Jesus, have mercy. Heal us. I know you can. I know you will. Come on. Today's the day. These guys are primed. They are ready. Jesus doesn't need anything more with them. He doesn't need to work. So again, other times you've seen Jesus work with people's faith. I've got all the faith I need, boys. I got all the faith I need. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Go show yourselves to the priest. So again, this goes right back to the Levitical law in Leviticus chapter 13, 14. You can read more about it. But again, when you had especially like a skin disease or communicable disease, you're to go show yourself to the priest. And before the priest, you're going to strip down and they're going to examine you. And again, the scripture says specifically if it's white, if it's red spots or this or that. And it gives the priest specific instructions to go, and quarantine them for X amount of days. And after that, come back. And if it looks like this or looks like that, okay, they're clean. It's not really that. It's just a rash or this. Or again, yeah, you're a leprosis and you got to get out of here. So again, when he gives them this command, go show yourselves to the priest, they know exactly what that means. Oh, go show myself to the priest. Well, the priest is the one who announced you unclean. He had to be the one. A priest had to announce you as being leprous and unclean. You have to go live among other lepers. You cannot be a normal society here on. Amen. Go show yourselves to the priest. Hallelujah. So again, the only reason to go to the priest was if healing was had occurred. I'm not going to show up to the priest and say, hey, I'm a leper. I'm still leprous. Nope. So again, faith demands movement before manifestation. So again, they're still lepers when Jesus spoke, turned, and when they walked. This phrase, as they went, indicates a progressive unfolding. Healing happened literally step by step as they obeyed. If this Greek word for cleansed is the word katharizo. It means purified, made clean. The disease was removed. So literally with each step, new flesh is being regenerated into onto their bodies, and you literally have a miracle in motion. As they went, they're progressively healed, restored, and by the time they got to the priest, I'm clean. I just need you to go ahead and give me my, because again, the priest had to be the one, you know, to say, yeah, you're clean, and they would let society know, they're going to let the synagogue leader know, hey, you can come back to church, you can go back to your home, you can go back to your family. The priest had to be the one to do it. Amen. Healed as they went. So again, we always want to look at God's part. God's part is to speak a word or reveal a word or to give an instruction. He did through Jesus. Man's part is always to obey the word. 10 lepers. What if they had said, go show yourself to the priest? Well, wait, I'm not healed, so I can't go to the priest. No. Thankfully, they all went. And they were all healed as a result. Hallelujah. So again, there's always something that you're going to have to add corresponding action in faith to the word of God. So again, if you, by my stripes, Rodney, you're healed. All right. Well, what can I do in the natural to agree with that? Well, Father, number one, I want to thank you. I believe that your word is true. And so furthermore, you're never going to hear sickness, disease coming out of my mouth ever again. I'm not sick trying to get healed. I'm not, you know, the cursed trying to get free or trying to get blessed. No, I am the healed. I am the redeemed. And I choose to homologio. I choose to agree with God from this moment forward. Now, do what you couldn't do before. Amen. If you had something going on, it's time to start taking steps of faith. You know, if I was healed, I'd be out of this bed right now. If I was healed, I'd be up walking right now. I'd be taking some stairs right now. Again, do something to activate your faith. Hallelujah. Again, faith is not faith until it's in action or it's in movement, in agreement with what God has said. So again, faith is obedience to revelation. Praise God. Again, we see here one man saw, he was healed, and he returned praising loudly, falling at Jesus' feet, and giving thanks continually. This Greek word for saw indicates full comprehension. He recognized the miracle. So again, somewhere along the way, whether he got 10 feet down the road or a mile down the road, don't know. But somewhere along the way, he realized, I am completely healed. This is a miracle. I'm going to go to the priest, but I'm going to go back to see Jesus about this right now. This Greek word for healed is the word aoma. It suggests a progressive healing matching the as they went. So again, he's praising loudly. He's praising ongoingly, continually, and it's overflowing. So again, this time he falls face down at Jesus' feet. The same one who has stood 100 paces away is now literally clinging to Jesus. He's got him like by the ankles or something, and he's holding on and just praising him profusely. Jesus rebukes him. Oh, wait, no. Jesus asks, you know, where's the other nine? Where's the other nine? Receiving gratitude is very, very important. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She thought she was going to run in there, grab her healing, and go. And Jesus said, no, you got to testify, daughter. You got to tell this. Hallelujah. He gave her an opportunity to express gratitude. She in her own mind was thinking, I want to be healed, but also know that I'm not supposed to be out here, and they know who I am. Thank you, Lord. The one who returned just happened to be a Samaritan who is an outsider. And in this, he really becomes an example of faith to the Gentiles. Glory to God. Jesus says to this one Samaritan who has returned something that the others did not hear. Your faith has not just healed you. He says your faith didn't just cleanse you. Your faith made you whole. That word whole is the word sozo, S-O-Z-O. It means, you'll see it throughout, actually in the Old Testament, New Testament, it means salvation. It means to be saved. But it means not just, it means spirit, soul, body, socially, financially, complete every part of your existence, sozo, saved, made whole. Nine were healed physically. The one who returned with gratitude was restored completely in his identity, his dignity, and in his destiny. He's made whole. This word Jesus says, go your way. This go your way, it carries with it this implication. It implies a new journey, a new chapter, a life beyond your past. Jesus touches this man's heart and restores him. He heals his very soul. This has damaged his soul greatly. He's not been able to be with his friends and his family, his loved ones. He's been cut off from them. Jesus heals his heart, restores him, and says, I've got a good plan for your life. Go your way and go live in it. Amen. Jesus doesn't just remove diseases. He restores everything that is damaged if you'll stick with him and allow him. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. How are we doing here? Thank you, Lord. Well, in closing on this part of it, I just want to recap how this miracle was activated. This is for our faith. Number one, we see the 10 lepers. Again, they came out of the leper colony. Everyone in the leper colony heard. 10 responded and said, no, if I can go get to him, I know, Jesus, you're going to heal me. I know it. And so they go out and they make a faith demand on Jesus, and he does. They cry out in desperation. Again, this is their faith reaching for his compassion, reaching for his mercy. Jesus sees them. His compassion initiates this miracle. Hallelujah. Jesus spoke. He gave a faith command and instruction, creating a moment of decision. He created a moment of decision for these guys. You want healing? Go show yourself to the priest. Same thing. Again, the guy who was blind, made clay, stuck it in his eyes. Moment of decision. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. These guys all acted on it. They obeyed. So again, their faith requires movement before you'll see a manifestation. Faith is obedience in motion. Again, they were on their way, and they were leprous, but when they started moving progressively, they started getting restored. One return, gratitude revealed the heart. Gratitude is faith, is the second step of faith that many never take. And they don't receive and experience all that God has for them. Hallelujah. So again, one was made whole, restoration beyond just physical healing. Healing touches the body, but this word wholeness touches the entire person. He was completely sozo, completely whole, completely restored, completely saved. Glory to God. So with that, we're going to have a couple of things for us here in the room for group. But online, we're going to go ahead and dismiss. We're going to be back here Friday morning for prayer at 9 to 10, and then Sunday pre-service prayer at 9:20, and then service starts at 10. But in the meantime, note this, God loves you. We love you. And in Him, we are living in victory.